This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of May 13th. I'm John Gibson, and with me early on a Sunday morning here in Japan, but in the evening on Saturday in Toronto, is my buddy Claudio Rodriguez. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, it's our pleasure. Thank you for sitting in for Jim while he's gallivanting off seeing the world and kicking his feet up and drinking whatever it is he drinks. But thank you very much for always taking the time to be with us and to share your knowledge. We appreciate you, man.
No worries. My pleasure.
All right. So, and we've had to wait a little bit to get started here for things to settle down in the Gibson household. So hopefully that goes well, too.
No worries at all.
You never know, but yeah, I know you've got two boys. I've got two kids too, so it's always exciting, right?
Yes, that's part of the deal, let's say.
agree. All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Louis Okoye of the Yomiuri Giants. We go rocking with Roki. We talk about both leagues and Yoshitomo Tsutsugo's return to NPB. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so last month I went to Tokyo Dome and I had the opportunity to talk to Louis Okoye of the Giants, and he and I saw each other last year, and I think he remembers me as the black dude who was speaking Japanese to him. I mean, basically, that's, I think he's like, whoa, this dude's speaking Japanese. And I met him a long time ago when he was with Rakuten, and I went up to him at that time and I said, hey, how's your English? I'm speaking Japanese. And I said, how's your English? And he said, no, I can't speak English, dude. Can't, it's a no-go. And I'm like, well, you got to study English so we can do an interview for our podcast. And so I want you to do that. So apparently that had no effect on him, because that was not the impetus for him studying English. You'll hear in the interview, he said basically it was Zealous Wheeler who said, hey, man, you look like you should be able to speak something other than Japanese, so get to it. But anyway, last year I saw Okoye and I said, okay, you ready to do this interview this year? And he said, yeah. And then the Giants shipped him out to the farm and I didn't see him the rest of the season. And I did see him on this particular day. And I said, hey, you got time today for 5 minutes? And he said, yeah. And we did the interview and I wrote a story about it. And then right after that, they sent him to the farm. He got sent back down again. So I don't know what's going on over there. I know they have a lot of young outfielders they want to play, but he turns 27 in July. So he's pretty much not a prospect anymore. So anyway, if you remember now, he's a biracial player in a country in which if you're obviously not Japanese, you kind of stand out. And speaking English can be seen as embarrassing a little bit to these people. I know it happens for me, people start speaking English to me and I've been here for 30 years, it kind of, I'm like, hey, I can function here. I'm good. It has to be worse for guys here who don't speak the language that maybe people are approaching them and speaking. So it's just really weird. But I think pretty much every team now has at least one biracial player or, half Japanese player on their team, if not more. So it's becoming more commonplace and a lot of them don't speak English. And I think I spoke to Kenta Bright of the Chunichi Dragons last year. I have not spoken to Makoto Adua of the Carp, but I was told that Adua does not speak any English at all. So, we're talking about guys who speak exclusively Japanese, but they have nothing about them. If they were to, get injured, people would be looking to see, it'd be surprised to see that they have Japanese passports and Japanese nationalities. But anyway, I had a lot of I didn't know how good Okoye's English was. I prepared a lot of questions and I had to throw them all out because his level was a little bit lower than I anticipated it would be. But he's really a fun guy, and I think that comes across in this interview. So let's take a listen. All right, so we're here with Louis Okoye of the Giants. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Nice to be able to do an interview with you in English.
Yes.
Okay, we met back in, when was it, 2018?
18
at Seibu Dome. And you said, can you, of course we were speaking Japanese. I said, can you speak English? And you said, no. So how have you How have you improved your English?
Did you remember Wheeler?
Wheeler, yes. Yeah, he's still here. Yeah.
He say, "Why you look like Americans, Africans, but me no English, right?"
Right.
So Wheeler said to me, "Oh, go and study English. Then I can speak English."
How do you study?
Just instructor teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That your team be from before. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So Zealous is now, he was a teammate.
Yes.
With Rakuten, right?
Yeah.
And now he's like a coach.
He's a coach. Yes.
What's it like playing for someone who used to be your teammate?
Wheeler.
Yeah.
Was long time played together. Then you know how like me. Then he's a nice job because Urania,
yeah, the new player,
Latino Africans,
yeah.
Maybe he's good because he long time stay Japan. He know Japanese culture, Japanese baseball, yeah.
All right, so now how is it playing for the world famous Giants? Everybody knows this team, so you joined the Giants. What's it like playing for this team?
Good, because my born to see is Tokyo, so...
You were born in Higashi
Murayama.
Murayama, yes. Yeah. I used to live in Higashi Kurume.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
The private is my friend, my high school friend,
yeah.
Many friends, so my private is good.
Your private life?
Yeah. This one is... First year is wrong league.
Mm-hmm.
League
and different league. Yeah.
So first time I'm confused.
Why?
Yeah, because first time pitcher.
Right.
First time batter.
So, first time seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have data.
Yeah.
So last year is complication?
Confusion. Yeah. A lot of confusion.
Yeah, but this year is good feeling. Yeah.
So, yeah, you're hitting, I mean, you were hitting okay last year in at the beginning, so before the regular season, but the practice games, you were doing really well.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the season in Central League, you were doing really well. Why? You were hitting really well.
But average is low. But I feel it's good.
Then
GM said to me, sometimes I try to right wing.
Hit the right.
Yeah.
Opposite field.
I can do that. Oh yeah. Okay. Back to one time. Go to minor league.
Oh yeah.
Then I went to minor league.
So he would say, you can't hit to right field.
Yes.
He wants you to hit to right field, too.
Yeah, because change the form.
Right, your batting style?
Yeah. I tried to this way, but I can't.
You couldn't do it?
Yeah. So I go to minor league, then many practice.
A lot of practice?
Yes, a lot of practice. Then now, sometimes miss, but almost good.
Yeah, good. Now, when you were a rookie, when you were a young player, you had a lot of speed in your game, a lot of, you know, hit and then run, you know, a lot of like last night, there was a single, but you made it into a double. You used to hit like that a lot.
Yeah.
Now, how have you changed as a hitter?
Yes. Younger is my younger.
When you were younger?
Younger is my body is... Powerful.
Yeah.
Don't care my body. no thinking. But now, 26 years old.
Only 26?
Yeah. But this year, 27.
Depends
my body.
Yeah, your body changed.
Yeah, every day. Ready for game.
Getting ready for the game?
Yeah. Stretch and training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Massage.
Yeah, massage. Anyway, now is thinking play game.
How to play baseball, yes, yeah. Yes. And that's how you're growing?
Yeah.
All right, so what was that experience? You're in the draft, and I remember I saw an interview,
yeah.
And they asked you, how many home runs do you want to hit? And you said, more than Hirasawa.
Yeah, yeah.
How many RBIs do you want to hit? More than Hirasawa.
Yes.
So I remember that interview.
Yeah, yeah,
it was very funny.
Yeah.
So why did you feel such competition with Hirasawa?
Because my high school is Hirasawa is rival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Each other go to big league there. RBI, home run, nice player. Yeah, we gotta go. But now, any players, same age, any players,
mm-hmm.
is Fire and Trey.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Too many. So now, more any thinking baseball. Yeah. And thinking more about
how to play the game. Okay, now when you were young, what other sports other than baseball? What other sports did you play?
Golf. Yeah, junior high school.
Uh huh. What else?
It's good, but now
you have no time. Yeah.
Yes.
What other sports did you play? Basketball. Your sister. I know your sister plays basketball. Did you play soccer?
Yes. My sister is play.
Yeah.
Basketball, but not me is. Only baseball and golf. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But all right. So now, sometimes in Japan, do people don't know you? They think you're a foreigner.
Yeah.
They think you.
That wasn't.
No, like they think they don't know that you're Japanese too.
Yeah.
When you see people.
Yeah.
So how is when you're playing baseball in Japan and you? You have your father's from Nigeria,
yes,
and your mother's Japanese.
Yeah.
You're not 100% Japanese. You're half Japanese and half Nigerian. How is that in Japan?
Just child. I was child. Is yeah. Sometimes sad, sometimes good. But now is yeah good.
It's
yeah, but different.
Different, yes. I know.
But a lot of almost Japanese,
almost
no any country culture.
Mm.
So maybe easy life. Yeah,
you think so? So okay, so this year Giants. How are the Giants this year? How is your team? Is it championship team?
Yeah, of course. I'm a champion there. I have a regular position. Then too many hits. Too many RBI.
Mm-hmm.
And then good feeling. Good defense. Yeah.
Yeah, well, defense I think is your no problem, right? No problem for you, I think.
But
you're so fast.
Every time I'm nervous.
Everybody's nervous, so that's good. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
You. Okay.
All right. So, again, he's really fun to talk to, even if he can't express everything. And I had to help him out with some of the things he was saying. And I think he mixed in a Japanese word once or twice. But anyway, what did you think, Claudio, of the interview?
Well, I would say I'm impressed because, you know, it's difficult to learn a foreign language while you're still in your home country. You know, I studied German for a couple of trimesters back in Venezuela, and I learned a little bit, but not enough to do an interview like this, you know, or any other language that you may want to learn to try to do an interview, even if it's a simple one. On that particular language. So I'm impressed. I mean, for a guy who's probably never been outside and you know, studied English outside, I think it was good enough. Obviously, he didn't have enough vocabulary to express himself better, but I mean, he understood the questions. He was able to give some answers. So
yes, yes,
I definitely applaud him for that. It takes a lot of effort to get to that level. So in that sense, I'm okay. I'm impressed and good for him. You know, it's definitely is going to open some doors for him in the future.
I'm also impressed because I think he's like the first basically Japanese player, active player, to really appear on the show, because
yeah, exactly.
Because we usually talk to the foreign. I know we've had a trainer once before, and we had an interpreter once before, I think, but no players, no active players. So I think we had a player, a former player, on before too. Jim went to those winter meetings and talked to a former player in the 13 plus years, but not an active player. So yeah, anything else stand out to you about what he said in terms of his comments?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it was interesting the fact that he mentioned that he was born in Tokyo. So playing in Tokyo now was for him meant being closer to his family and friends and stuff. So that was interesting. That was good to hear. He mentioned something about being confused with the change of leagues. Now it's in the Central League, not the Pacific League. He was still adapting to it. But he, you know, overall, he mentioned having a good feeling about being with the Giants, which is great. I'm assuming, you know, most Japanese players want to play for the Giants at some point. So it's, you know, it's an honor for them to do so. So I'm happy to hear that he's doing fine, because again, he was basically out. Like, you know, the Eagles didn't have a place for him, and he wasn't getting any playing time in the top team. And
sure, yes.
I believe he went to that draft or that tryout or whatever, where the
second chance draft, or
exactly, and then the Giants picked him up.
The Rule 5, yeah.
Exactly, and then he got some playing time with the top team, and I saw it as a great thing for him, because you know I think he has talent, and he wasn't getting any opportunities with the Eagles. So I'm happy to see that he's getting a second chance. He may not get enough playing time with the Giants, but it's still an opportunity for him to showcase his talents to other teams that may wanna pick him up. Like, see what happened with Seiya Hosokawa in the Dragons. I remember from the very first season or second season where Ramirez was the manager of the Bay Stars.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, look, this guy Hosokawa, this guy can hit 40 homers in a season. This guy has power, has a lot of talent. But in the Bay Stars, he never got the chance. I mean, he never got an everyday job. And I think he also did the Rule 5 draft, and then the Dragons picked him up. And now he's like the best hitter they have. So, you know,
if not the only hitter.
If not the only, exactly. So it's great that they have Okoye is having a second chance. Maybe he would be great if the Fighters pick him up or something. You know, like he definitely has a chance to play. And I just hope, if it's not with the Giants, maybe another team is going to give him an everyday job. So in that sense, I'm happy he did mention the fact that he was, I'm getting old and stuff. He said he needed to warm up.
Imagine that,
prepare better for each team.
Yeah. Imagine that you're getting old at 27.
Yeah. No, and it's funny because, you know, for a baseball player, especially when you mention it, he's not a prospect anymore, right? So he has to deliver. He doesn't have the luxury of people saying, oh, he's still young, he'll learn. No, like, he has to deliver now. So and also he mentioned something I found interesting, the fact that he was he said he was okay with being a foreigner in Japan, or looking like a foreigner in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Which I found interesting, because you know, some people may think you know, just because I look different, you're treating me like a different person instead of considering me a Japanese, which he would be, because he was born and raised in Japan and he only speaks Japanese, or mostly, mm-hmm. or almost exclusively Japanese.
Correct.
But he mentioned he was okay with it. So, you know, that's great to hear. And again, I was very impressed. He was able to handle himself, even if his vocabulary was very limited, but he was still able to to go with the interview. So, hey, yeah. I can much better than my Japanese. I can tell you that much.
Definitely, definitely. We got through it. You know, I wrote a story off of this interview, but I think it's actually nice to hear Louis offer those statements in his own words. And so I wanted people to hear that. And I mean, he sounds just like a Japanese English learner or a Japanese person who's a learner or a second language student. The guys I used to teach when I first came to Japan. But yeah, I had, like I said, a lot different questions for him, and I just had to trash most of them and just keep things simple. But I said years ago, I think these guys get sent to the farm with a report card and assignments. And it's great that he told us, look, this is what the GM came up to me and told me, and this is why I was being sent down to the farm. Whether it was true or not, whether he really had enough time to actually improve that aspect of his hitting, I'm not sure. But at least we got to hear him say that, that the GM said, I need to hit to right field, and that's what I worked on. And so that, I thought, was a really telling thing for our listeners to get, because it's, you know, we always look at maybe the overall batting average. And for instance, Okoye, he's got sent to the farm, but he was hitting 280. So you look at the 280 and you're thinking, oh, you know, that's really good. But there were some obvious holes in his game. He was hitting just 173 at Tokyo Dome. His on-base percentage was 333. He had 12 strikeouts and 18 hits. But with all that speed, you would think, you know, if this guy can just make some contact, he could do better. And he only stole two bases. So 280 is 280, but what are you doing the other times? How are you making outs? How are you getting runners over? How are you doing on defense? How are you doing once you get on the bases? Those things also count. And I think it was that overall aspect of his game that maybe landed him back on the farm. And the fact that, again, the third time saying this, he's not a prospect, and maybe the Giants have some younger guys they want to get a look at. And they have been getting a look at. So that was interesting for me. I thought that was the biggest point, you know, talking about that report card and that assignment that he had going down to the minor leagues. But again, you know, all these players, and I try to say it after we have the Latino or Hispanic players on as well, that they speak so well. I think the last one we had was Neftali Soto, our buddy, and his English is so awesome, and I just love talking to him, and he expresses himself so well. So I think in time, you know, Okoye, he and Zealous Wheeler can work on that, on his English game and his game, and get him back up to the Giants. But let's make a seamless transition here and talk about the Central League, and I want to start with the Giants, and they are, I mean, what's your impression of them first, before we go on and talk about the Central League, because they seem to be outperforming what I thought they would do. How about you?
I think they're in first place right now. So I think they're playing well. But same as the rest of the teams in the league right now, they're like good, but not really dominant. They're just having some stretches on which they're winning some games and playing well, but they still have certain flaws and there's not completely there. But again, what I find interesting this year is that the Central League is very close. All six teams still have a chance. It's like four-game difference between first and last place.
All right, but so Claudio.
Yeah.
It's May. Of course they still have a chance.
I know, but
of course they all have a chance.
Look at the Pacific League. It's 12-game difference between first and last place. These guys still have, you know, they're still in there. They're still.
But I would even say, I wouldn't talk about, I mean, we're going to get to the Pacific League shortly, but even with the Lions, as far back as they are, it's May, and they have such a good pitching staff that they can climb back into this thing, especially, particularly by beating the first place team. But yeah, the Giants. It's May.
Well, anyways, I mean, they're playing okay, not spectacular, but they're winning games, and, you know, they're temporarily in first place, so let's see where they go from here. I mean, there's still some question marks for all the teams. So as you say, it's May. let's see where they go. You know, it's so far so good, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just shocked with the Giants' rotation, if you can really call it that. The those guys are producing quality starts. I didn't expect it. I got to be honest. I thought we were going to see a better Sugano, but Iori, Yamasaki, and pitchers like that, I didn't expect them to continue to do what they did on occasion last year or even improve. But I mean, who could anticipate that? I don't think a lot of people anticipated that those other guys, quote unquote, other guys would do that. They have a good relief core, and especially in games that they're winning. Alberto Baldonado, I guess he's leading the holders.
Yeah.
But now he's closing games because Taisei Ota injured and off the top team, so he's holding it down at the back of the bullpen. The thing that we've seen, the obvious drop off with super or former superstar, now just star Hayato Sakamoto, and not only is he far from the shortstop position in terms of the team considering putting him at that spot even late in a game, or you know, even if they have anything other than a major pinch, but he hasn't even been in the lineup on occasion because of injuries or lack of production. And he went a stretch without getting a hit, and it was a big deal, and that he suffered through that last season, so he's doing that. He went through that again this year. We talked about it in the prediction show. He's definitely nearing the end, but
I mean, I was saying, I remember, I don't know, was it last season or maybe the season before, where everybody was talking about him getting to 3,000 hits and he was only like a 2,200. Like, it's not going to get there. I mean, don't be so excited about this. It just, he recently got to 2,000. Stop talking about 3,000. It's not going to happen.
He's going to have to go to the store and buy 500 hits from somewhere.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Like, I mean, and not to diminish, he has had a fantastic career, great guy and stuff. But, you know, at some point you age and you don't produce as much. So, you know, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So we're seeing him struggle in that. And, you know, I always say it seems like these position players, they never die. They just kind of fade away because they become pinch hitters and star pinch hitters, and they can last another three seasons just pinch hitting off the bench three times a week. But closers just kind of seem to die. Like one day they're just gone.
Yeah.
And so he still has that, and he's a beloved Giants, a past star here. So I don't want to give him an epitaph
in that sense.
But
in that sense is when we have to tip our hats to the Dragons, because they did get those a bunch of stars that age well, that played until they weigh 40 plus, like. Tanishige was playing until he was like 44 or whatever.
Motonobu, yes.
Araki in second base, and all these guys.
Araki,
they played until they were 40 plus. You know, like
at some point, played a long time.
Remember when we first met? That infield was like 160, 180 years old. Among all of them, they were so old.
I remember joking about that. Yes,
and playing every day
and playing well. Yeah,
exactly. So you know, in that sense, we have to tip our hats to the Dragons, because they did manage to keep their good players playing until very late. But in the case of the Sakamoto, unfortunately, I don't think it's gonna get there.
Yeah, that's funny, because I one of our listeners recently wrote me an email and said they love when I rail on the Dragons, because, you know, because I tend to do that. I guess I'm harsh on the team that I, you know, like so much. And I didn't realize I was doing it, but you bring up a good point. But those days are long gone.
Yeah, those days are gone.
For the Dragons, at least. I really like what the rotation of the Giants is doing. And like you said, a lot of the teams in the Central League they're bunched together. I heard some guys talking on the radio about the same thing, about how the teams are all stuck together and it should be a good race throughout. And I've said this for weeks, but the rest of the league really is behind the Tigers. I think the rest of the league, to me, and now I'm saying that as the Tigers had this big lead, which we will talk about coming up shortly, but they had this 7-run lead on Friday on Saturday, they just couldn't hang on to and end up losing to the Bay Stars 11-9. But they still look like the class of the league, and all the other teams to me still seem mediocre, even though, the Giants by percentage points and a half game as we sit here on Sunday morning are in first place. But I really feel like they're renting that space and they're going to have to give it up at some point because they don't have enough money to pay for it for the whole season. So they're going to have to give it.
Hey, again, I really thought the Bay Stars were going to be bad this year because they had a really major losses during the winter. And I thought, okay, they don't have enough people to cover those holes. But now Zugano is back and all of a sudden they're playing well. And hey, you never know. Maybe they do a lot better than we expected this year. Maybe they make the playoffs. So you never know. I mean, it's and I thought in my prediction was for the Swallows to finish first because, as I said, they're really good. They have a really good offense, really good hitters. And the pitching, you know, is always the issue. But for those 2 or 3 years, 21, 22, the pitching all of a sudden managed to be really good. So I thought, you know, if they come back to that level, maybe they can be a contender this year. So you never know. The potential is there. It's just, you know, who's more consistent at the end in their game. And you're right. I mean, definitely the Tigers have the team to repeat as champions. But you never know. Anything could happen. So it's. I agree. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great race, I guess, I think, for the rest of the year. So let's hope it stays this way.
That sure. Way. And yeah, cliches aside, there's still a lot of time left. So I'm not really looking at because I really see the rotation with the Tigers as the class of the league. And I think that offense is going to produce at a better level more consistently. But they have had their ups and downs so far this season. I expected a little bit better showing from Teruaki Sato as far as being consistent. He has shown some flashes, but still. Yusuke Oyama, guys like that, they haven't gotten it rolling. Remember last year it was that summer that really they got separation. They went on their road trip of death and they killed it on that road trip, winning almost every game, went on a big long winning streak, and then they end up winning the league. And then I said, you know what, this is not a fluke. We're looking at some really good players, and I think they're going to win the Japan Series, and that was my prediction. So I predict that they're going to run these other teams over. And let's get to that 11-9 loss on Saturday. It was kind of an ugly side of what can happen to the Tigers. I don't know if it was a loss of focus. Masashi Ito was a starter. He usually is very reliable for putting in a quality start at the very least. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't one of those Yokohama games where the balls got up in the wind and just kind of flew out, or they got the Yokohama stadium hits or anything like that. They were legit line drive hits. A lot of them were him walking guys. And so they just didn't get it done yesterday. Those kinds of games happen. But I think conversely, you got to really credit the Bay Stars for not giving up. The guys who I think the Tigers wanted to get the outs. They wanted to use these guys to get outs. The Yota Kyoda, who had at least five RBIs in this game, but he had a bases clearing triple in the middle of the game, and that just turned everything around for the Bay Stars. Really started to let them think that they had hope in this game. And I'm trying to look up the stats here because I think Kyoda. I don't remember him with the Dragons having five RBIs, but yeah, there they are. And of course, that was his only hit. He drove the other ones in with like little ground balls. So when things like that happen for the Bay Stars, it makes them look like better contenders. And, you know, obviously that team lost Shota Imanaga in the offseason. And we thought, okay, things could be bad for this team. I had them finishing fourth. So I think they're still going to contend. But when they don't get the quality pitching that, you know, usually you need to win a game and they still win it, I think that bodes well. And obviously Yoshitomo Tsutsugo hitting the tie-breaking home run in the eighth inning, and then Shugo Maki following that with a home run to put, you know, give him some insurance, and then holding that lead down. It's a big win for the Bay Stars. I think that give them some confidence for not necessarily for today, but future games when they're behind, they feel like they'll be able to come back. What about the Carp? I'm kind of shocked at their ineffectiveness. I had them pegged for second place, and I did think they played over their heads a little bit or over their skis a little bit last season, and they won more games than perhaps they should have. But they've got some struggles. What do you see there?
Well, I had predicted the Carp to do not as well compared to last year because, as you mentioned, they definitely exceeded expectations last year. Especially in the case like the pitcher, the starter, Aaron Curry, who, you know, last year he was phenomenal. But I thought, hey, you know, this is not a new guy. This guy has been on this team for a few years already. All of a sudden he's having an amazing season, but I don't think he's going to be able to sustain this thing in the future. So what we're seeing this year is not common. All these guys all of a sudden pitching this well, it's great to have, but I don't think they're going to be able to sustain this in the future. So I'm not surprised that they're having their issues this year. But at the same time, they're not completely lost. They're not like the Lions are like way down there where nothing is going on for them. They're still winning some games.
No, wait a minute. The Lions have really good pitching.
No. But I'm not
one
saying,
aspect
I'm not
of
talking
their game
about
is high quality.
I'm talking
yes.
about the results as a team in as a whole,
you.
Right? Losing. I feel sorry for them because again, they have really good pitching. It's just that the offense is so dead right now that they're losing way too many games. They shouldn't be that low in the standings, but you know they are. But in the sense of the Carp, you know they're still holding on. They're not in last place. They're not that bad. So you know let's see what else they can do and whether they can make the playoffs or not.
Okay, all right. For me, the Carp, I guess a lot of it is Shoko Sakakura. We need another word for what he's going through because struggling is not enough. he has gone from walking to going back down onto the ground and crawling.
Hashtag
He hit like 0.88 the past 10 games before Sunday's action. And I saw a quote from manager Takahiro Arai who said, he's a quality player. He knows, you know, I have faith in him, something to that effect. It's not an exact quote, but, you know, this guy can play, essentially, is what he's saying. But yeah. He just hasn't shown it. And I think, you know, Jim, this is one of Jim's boys, right? Jim Allen has always looked at this guy. And in one year, Jim said, this guy is a potential MVP. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't see that. And I still don't. The swing doesn't seem that much to me of an MVP kind of guy. He's I don't know if the profile is hitting profile. He's shown enough to have enough consistency with both power and the other things. People, the sexy plays, you know, the sexy hits. He had a stretch 1 year, second half of his early on, I guess, when he broke in on with the top team. But I haven't seen that, and now it's just he's just. Like I said, struggle does not even begin to explain what he has gone through. So I hope he can, but I'm not sure. And as for the Dragons and the Swallows and the teams that are right now struggling, I guess the Bay Stars are included a little bit, although they look good on some days, the Bay Stars do, and then other days they look like, geez, you know, what's going on out here? But I'm looking at the Dragons and it's players like Takaya Ishikawa, Alex Dickerson. You know, I did a story on him. We talked to him in the preseason. He looked like he was maybe not going to hit 250, but he was going to have the occasional extra base hit, maybe a pop here and there, and bad back. And we haven't seen him since. I haven't really even heard of him. But Ishikawa is the kid, I think, and he had a two-run double yesterday late in the game to add on some runs to really give the Dragons some cushion. But they brought out
Raidel Martinez.
They brought out Raidel Martinez anyway in the ninth inning to close it up. He's like, no, we're not giving this game away to any of them. Bring him out. They probably had him up anyway. But if Ishikawa and Dickerson and guys like Yuki Okabayashi, if those guys are not going to be consistently in the lineup, as we were talking before we went on mic, I said, look, the Dragons have the top of their lineup. That's the only part of the lineup that seems it's going to score. You know, it's going to produce some runs. The other guys might get a single and they might get on base and they might get as far as third, but they need two more hits to get them. Even if you get on base, you need two more hits to get them in, it seems. And when they do hit the ball hard, it's right at somebody. So that even if it falls in for a base hit, they can't get the runner home from second on hits. So because I remember the other day they out hit a team by, I don't know, seven hits or something like that. And they barely scored and lost the game. And I'm thinking, you know, they're filling the bases with runners, but they're not able to get them home. So they need that extra base pop. And so what we were saying before we went on mic, I'm saying, you know, if the top of the lineup doesn't score, you could basically skip the next two innings and then come back another, you know, in that third inning after that. So if they don't score in the first, come back in the fourth inning, we'll see what they can produce then. And if they don't score in the fourth, you come back in the seventh inning. And by then, if a run has scored, the game's over.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the everybody was talking when and the after the first 3 weeks of the season or whatever, the Dragons were in first place. And I read somebody saying, it's not a mistake. And I'm like, like, come on. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, somebody wrote on Twitter to me, like, John, you must be, or somebody at the office, I can't remember. Somebody said, John, you must be happy. And I said, this is the epitome of fool's gold. You know, this is fake. This is fake first place. They're winning games. Yeah. Like, they won a game. Remember, they swept the Carp at Hiroshima and they didn't give up a run in any of the games. Well, that sounds really good, but they won. I think they only scored 4 or 5 runs themselves. So it was 2-0, 2-0 and 1-0 something. And they had so many, I think they've already had 2-3 games in which they scored 1 run or 0 runs and they've had a tie. Three of the ties have been, so I think 1 scoreless tie and 2 1-run, you know, 1-run-each ties. And then they had some other ties there too. This is, you know, I didn't ever think for a second that it was sustainable. I said on the show that, you know, they might be in first place. This is why I don't look at the standings. The standings lie. They don't tell you what's going on. In fact, we still don't know what these teams are like. Look at, as we make a two-seam transition into the Pacific League, look at the Fighters. They are using so many players and so many guys at different positions. Did you see the game yesterday in the lineup? They had 3 catchers in the infield, 1 actual catcher catching. And then Yuya Gunji was playing third base. He's a former Dragons catcher. And then Ariel Martinez was playing first base, and he's a former Trinity Dragons catcher. And they had them all on the infield, and they were surprised when there was an error, you know. And they still won the game.
Yeah.
They keep winning. Yeah, well,
in that sense, you know, it makes, like, people were making such a fuss about the Dragons being in first place, but I haven't heard anybody making a fuss about the Fighters playing so well as they have played so far. Like,
yeah,
that's impressive. I mean, they're doing good.
I am. I'm not going to make a fuss about it, but I think I brought it up last week that they're winning these games, and whatever you want to say, however they get it done, whether they're playing, they've got 5 or 6 guys who have played first base already this season, or second, or short, or third, or left. They're moving guys more than Jim said, you know, they got to find a seat when the music stops.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they keep winning, and they beat Noki Sasaki, a game we'll get to shortly, but this team is operating at top speed to me. This team cannot play any better. I don't think we can have any expectations of a 10-game win streak or anything like that. This is as close to a 10-game win streak as it gets, but I don't think it gets much better. But here's the thing, is Chusei Manami really hasn't been hitting that much, and he knocked in all 3 runs on Saturday to beat the Marines. And if he starts to be a more consistent bat in that lineup, that could be better. But I still, if that, you know how things work, right? If you get good production over here, then you have a whole pop up on the other side that you have to cover and fill. So I don't know that they'll be that's sustainable as well. But it's so amazing that they keep winning, and they're winning and putting opponents in a bind, right? They're making them match up so much. So but what have you seen about the Pacific League?
Well, I mean, the Hawks, I don't think the Hawks are playing spectacularly well or anything, but they're doing their job. They're winning their games, and, you know, they're being very effective, and they're running away in the lead. Like, it's going to be difficult to bring them down. So in that sense, well, many people expected that they could, because they got big reinforcements. Hotaka Yamakawa has been amazing for them so far, and that's what they needed. They needed a clutch hitter, an effective clutch hitter to get the runs in, because the other
hitters,
even though, like,
Wait a minute, an effective clutch hitter? Who are the ineffective clutch hitters? Tell me about those guys.
No, but I mean, even though they had Yanagita and they had Kondo last year and they had other really good hitters, those guys were not producing runs. They needed a fourth bat that was there to, you know, to hit homers, to drive runs in and stuff. And Yamakawa has done that. And amazingly, by the way, like he's, you know, way ahead of everybody else in RBIs. He's... I think he's still the leader. He has 9 homers. I think he's the leader of in home runs right now. So he's been great, and that's what the Hawks needed to be able to get the offense going and win more games. So in that sense, you know, they're going to be a contender this year. The fighters are exceeding expectations, but they're fun to watch. So, you know, let's see how far they can go. The Marines are definitely having their problems, but I mean they have good potential. It's just, you know, they're not clicking right now, but they may in the future. Like, you never know. I mean, Polanco, as we discussed before we started recording, he's the guy who gets hot in short stretches. Like for a 2-week period, he will hit 5-6 homers and get 10-14 RBIs, whatever. So when he gets hot, and then maybe Soto has been good so far. Mercedes has been pitching very well. It's just the guy doesn't have run support.
That poor guy.
It's like, poor guy. It's like, come on, give him some run support. So, you know, the only team that I see really, really lost right now is the Lions. And it's a sad thing because their pitching is really good. They have a really good rotation. But the offense is just dead. Nobody's hitting. They're not getting their runs in when that they need to win games. So I had really, I was hoping that, you know, Aguilar and Cordero would provide them. And they started well. I mean, at the beginning, Aguilar was doing well. Cordero wasn't great, but he hit a couple of homers. He was driving in some runs. But then all of a sudden, boom, they're gone. They're not doing anything. And then, you know, it's difficult for the team to produce runs. We don't have, you know, better hitters available. So, I mean, they can still come back. You never know. But it's just right now they don't look good.
So, yeah, the Lions, I had them maybe looking at a fourth place finish maybe this season. So they're lower than my expectations at the moment. But I still see somebody getting hot. Takeya Nakamura, he hasn't been great. I don't expect him to go uninjured. But he has been productive for them if they can get enough guys on ahead of him. And I think they'll turn things around. And they still have time. It's still May. So I'm not going to be panic about them. What I'm surprised about is how well the Eagles are scoring runs. Remember, I think I said over, and I mentioned it last week as well, over 30 underperforming was my expectation for those guys. And while some of them are over 30 and not even performing because they're not getting on the field, some of the young guys have been out there doing well. You know, they're impressing me that way. The SoftBank, they really look good. Carter Stewart Jr., he picked up his first win of the season yesterday. I don't think I've ever seen him throw as good a game as he did yesterday. You talk about the fighters being exciting, and all those things are good. But what I guess the Buffaloes have me concerned. And that was your pick for as the winning team. That was my pick for second place in the Pacific League. And they got some bad news this past week. Ace lefty Hiroyo Miyagi tore a major pectoral muscle on the pitching side. And I didn't really see a timetable for his return. That's a huge blow. Obviously, they lost Yoshinobu Yamamoto in the offseason. Shunpei Yamashita came out looking like he was going to give everyone birthday presents via pitches, and he was just not very good at the beginning of the season and got taken off the roster. Hopefully he can come back. On the bright side, Leandro Cedeño has really become a major part of that lineup, and they still managed to win some games here and there. But I'm concerned because they don't look very good, and right now the immediate future is kind of bleak.
No, even Yuki Udagawa, who was unhittable, was one of the best relievers they had, is not looking well. He's giving up runs and stuff. So, you know, the biggest strength of Oryx was the pitching. And if they're going to fail this year, then it's going to be difficult for them to win games because their hitting is not as impressive. I agree, Leandro Cedeño has been great, but he has been quiet lately. So he's a similar player to Polanco in that sense. He gets really hot in short periods of time, but then he kind of quiets down. So I would love to see more consistency on his side. But I mean, so far his numbers are still really good. Let's see how far. And I'm really impressed with Anderson Espinosa, who has been great.
Fantastic, yeah.
Andres Machado has been great as well in the bullpen. So they have some upsides there. They have some good things to talk about. But yeah, I'm concerned with the pitching because that was the major strength. And if they're failing, then it's going to be difficult for them to not only to repeat, but to even make the playoffs. So, there's still a lot of time for them to recover, but definitely there's concern on that side.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they're 4 games under 500 as we speak, and so they lost their ace. So take 2 aces away and an ace in the making in Yamashita, and then now you have to elevate guys who last year were in the 4, 5, and 6 slots in the rotation, if in the rotation at all, up to prominent roles in the rotation. So we'll see how that goes. Let's go rocking with Roki, make a seamless transition as we talk about the Marines as well, but... Roki Sasaki, boy, oh boy, not a good night for him. I was thrilled that, we got him off of Sundays. That was my goal. I even joked that it seemed like the Marines were listening to the podcast because I said probably Friday would be the best day, if not Saturday. And so they had him on Friday. And they were up in Hokkaido, and it was his first career game up there in Hokkaido. And he wasn't as bad as the numbers might suggest. So he goes 5 2/3 innings. He allows 5 runs, 8 hits. They were all the runs were earned. He walked 5. He struck out 4. 123 pitches. And again, I want to say that he wasn't as bad as those numbers might suggest. The Fighters were definitely pesky, and I give them credit. They had a plan. They executed that plan. They did a good job of taking some advantage of some hittable pitches, but definitely some balls that probably should have gone, not as you shouldn't have been swinging at them, and they swung at them and they hit them in odd spots. They had a couple of dunkers. There were scouts from 7 teams, or scouts representing 7 teams, big league teams who were there watching. And here's what I noticed. Sasaki was grunting a lot louder than I've ever heard him before on his pitching. Now, maybe the mics are better at Escon. I don't know, but I'd never really heard it. He was grunting louder on the fastballs and not as much in the decibel level when he was throwing off-speed pitches. I don't know if the Fighters, if you even have time to pick that up as a batter, slow yourself down. So, oh, that grunt wasn't so loud. I'll just slow myself down because it's going to be an off-speed pitch. I don't know how but it just seemed that they got their bat on a lot of pitches. A couple of them, they were off the plate and down, and they still made contact, and one of them went for a double. It was just kind of a weird thing. Marines manager Masato Yoshi said, "I've never seen him struggle that much with his control after the game." What did you see?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the numbers show really reflect what happened on the field because he wasn't that bad. I mean, his control wasn't that bad. He was getting, the umpire could have called a few strikes that he didn't.
Like, I tweeted that.
Some pitches like, hey, come on, like that should have been a strike. And all runs came when he left on the
last
inning.
Two, yeah.
So it's not except for the one single homer he gave up to Ariel Martinez. All the other runs came in and at the last when he left the game.
And even
he was already.
Yeah, even the Martinez home run was, we've talked about the balls being dead or a little bit harder to hit this year. And that was one of those, I said, there's some lively ones mixed in. And that one looked like one of those lively balls because that thing carried, and that's an opposite way home run. Jim talked about the fact last week, he said there have been only 8 up until last week's show, had been only 8 opposite field home runs all season. So Martinez hit that ball. I think that was one of the lively ones, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I mean, but the thing is, it's funny because he threw that same fastball right down the middle of the plate, and other hitters just hit a foul of it. It was just Martinez who either was lucky or you know, read the pitch well and made good contact with it, because other hitters couldn't make the same contact. It was the same pitch. Also, I mean, by the moment he left, he was already over 100 pitches. He looked tired.
Yeah.
The manager could have taken him in, out earlier. Like when he had the two runners on base before he gave up the any runs, the manager could have just replaced him at that point and just bring a reliever. And you know, if anything, he would have given up three runs in total as opposed to five. But I think he left it too long. And he was obviously, he looked tired. Not that he was... I didn't think he was having troubles with his control. He just looked tired.
Yeah,
you know, he was already at 110 pitches or something. Just change him and you know, bring a reliever. You know, whatever happens, happens. But I think it was also a case of the manager leaving him too long. And also, I think what makes things worse is that, I mean, his numbers are still great. It's just he doesn't look great. That's the whole thing. It's an illusion of, or not an illusion, but the impression you get is that he's not as dominant as before. And because of that, you're thinking, oh, he's having troubles. But if you look at his numbers, he's still doing really well. I mean, before this start, the previous four or five starts, he pitched seven innings in each one of them.
Yes,
I mean, he's not, and he had the ERA was 130 something. He wasn't that bad. It's just, you know, he looks like he's not as dominant as before, but number wise, he was okay. So I don't know. I think people are just exaggerating a bit with I agree with you. Just the numbers don't really reflect what happened on the mound. He wasn't fantastic, but he was okay. He wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to find out, and I didn't hear anything after the game, that he was under the weather or came down with something. Because like I said, the grunting and the way he looked on the mound, his facial expressions, and just like nothing I've seen before. It just didn't look like him. So maybe some of the travel got to him or something. I don't know. He's still young. It shouldn't be a problem. And remember a long time ago, I said, you know, sometimes where he throws too many strikes, he just finds the middle of the plate too much. And he needs to pinpoint the control. But I can't even blame him for that, because he looked tired, like you said, the whole game. He didn't look like himself. So I'm just going to chalk that up to one of those aberrations that sometimes happen in a baseball season. Let's make a final one-seam transition and talk about Yoshitomo Tsugo's return to Japan. So he's back in MPB. And in case some folks didn't know, he kind of announced his presence with a game to remember on Monday. Last week. So to set aside the tie-breaking home run that he had yesterday in that epic comeback game, he walked and scored in the first inning on Monday to help the Bay Stars get the lead, and then he flied out to center in the fourth. Then he doubled in the seventh inning, and then he connected for a clutch three-run homer in the eighth inning that made the difference in the game, and the Bay Stars edged the Yakult Swallows 6-5, and this again was on Monday. And he batted in the number seven hole. And I kind of had the idea he was being eased back into things after playing some farm games. But there he is coming up at the biggest moment of the game and hitting his first home run in MPB in 5 years. What did you think?
I think it was great. I mean, I'm happy that he chose to go back to the Bay Stars as opposed to the Giants.
Hmm.
I'm happy that he's back in Japan and making good use of his talents, because I thought he should have come back earlier. Like, I mean, by 2022, the end of 2022, he should have been back in Japan. I think he waited a bit too long. But
agreed.
You know, better...
I don't know why he wasted those other 3 years. After two seasons, I think we pretty much knew he was going to come back to Japan, but it was a matter of where. So, and I'm glad, too, that he came back to the Bay Stars. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, better late than never. So I'm glad he's back, and he, you know, he's back on track where pretty much where he was when he left. So as I said earlier, I think his presence in the clubhouse is going to help boost the morale of the team, and it's going to get them, you know, to compete and to fight and to fight for the spot in the playoffs, which before, with, because again, they didn't only lose Shota Imanaga, they lost Trevor Bauer, they lost Edwin Escobar, they lost Neftali Soto, they lost a few players that had been there for a while and they were very important to the team. So with all those losses, it looked like, man, it's not maybe it's not going to happen for them this year. But with Tsutsugo back, maybe now they have a morale boost that's going to help them keep fighting. So I'm excited to see, you know, what they can do with him this year. So I'm happy he's back, definitely.
Yeah, I'm looking at him as a guy who maybe went over to the States. I mean, I don't know what he was like before. I know once you get some seniority and some, you know, you put up some numbers and you have some results in Japan, you can take on that seniority level role in a team. But yeah, when you go over to the States and you get humbled and you come back, I think it really kind of grounds you in it. He just seems more humble coming back here to Japan. And like he said, he had to earn his spot. He did earn it, but he's still going to have to earn all the swings he gets. I think he's not an automatic everyday player until he really gets. I mean, yeah, he had that home run on Monday to win the game, but then he just kind of went, you know, he didn't play every day. He only had 10 at bats until yesterday. And then yesterday he gets, you know, the big hit with that clutch home run, among other hits in the game for the Bay Stars. I think that was the biggest one, obviously. And then you just look at him physically, which I did, and the announcers noticed it too. They said he looks thinner, but apparently someone, I was listening on a radio broadcast, the Hunching Tigers radio broadcast, and they were saying, yeah, that he really hasn't gained or lost any weight, but he's leaner. He has changed his diet. He has changed his approach to training, and that has made a difference. And if he's not going to get faster, let's be honest. He was never a outfielder, but if he can maintain that kind of not be a liability in left field even, and make the plays that are makeable, I think he, by the end of the season, you know, with a guy with less body fat and keeping his same power, can make a difference for that team. I certainly didn't factor that in when I was saying fourth place for the Bay Stars probably this year. But I mean, I'm not sure I'm willing to make him a difference maker at this point. But the things that you talked about, the leadership, veteran presence in the locker room, and showing some of those younger guys how to go about and how to approach and how to prepare. But I mean, I think it was Tatsuo Ebina who had the biggest hit of all. And that that two-run home run that got the team even. And then Tsutsugo followed with the solo shot, and then Maki had a solo shot. So, I like what the Bay Stars are doing. I'm glad Tsutsugo is back. I'm hoping Jim can do like a little bit of research on this and see when these guys come back to Japan and how many of them join their original team and how many of them go to a different ball club, and then what are their numbers like once they come back from Japan. So I want to see. I mean, it's going to be hard to compare across pitchers and position players, but we can group the position players together and group the pitchers together and maybe come up with somebody who's the best, because I think that'd be fascinating. I really haven't looked at that. It would seem to me that this is one of the better comebacks or returns to a team that I've seen in a while.
Well, I remember a few years back, well, many years back, I wrote an article about the best Japanese players who went to MLB and then came back to Japan. I remember the examples I wrote about at that time were Tadahito Iguchi and Kazuo Matsui, which both of them, I believe, well, I think Iguchi had the better career after coming back to Japan. But what I felt it was that they were good after they came back, but not as good as they were before they left. So they kind of, I mean, they came back and because of their talent and their experience were able to stay, but they were still not as great as they were, you know, in their prime before they left. So
sure.
I think they're still definitely able to play. But maybe whether it's age, whether it's I remember Kazuo Matsui saying something about the traveling schedule just killed him in the major leagues. Like, you know, that because obviously it's a lot more traveling, a longer distances as well. So he said, you know, that's just the traveling so much just burned me out. You know, it's like it was difficult to get used to that. So, but yeah, I mean, there, and you have examples of guys who truly don't make it. I think I remember Akinori Iwamura, the guy that played with the Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
it came back and he didn't do anything. And you know, it's like you have examples like that as well. Guys that come back and they're already, you know, gone. They're not much they can contribute anymore. Well, we definitely need Jim to do a study on that, see what results he comes up with.
You hear that, Jim? You got homework. So even though you're out gallivanting and having fun, you're getting homework for your next assignment. All right, buddy. All right. Well, Claudio, this has been quite an adventure for you and me. So thank you so much for taking a couple hours to make a one-hour show.
It happens.
Yeah. And we really appreciate the fact that every time I ask or I think, you know what, it'd be nice to have Claudio fill in or do something on the show. And you say yes before I even hit send.
Hey, no, my pleasure. Always great, always fun to talk to you and to Jim. So hey, you know, keep the invites coming. I'll be back.
Keep the invites
don't worry
coming.
About it.
I love it.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, I'll have to send a couple more Zoom invites too, maybe to finish up the show. All right. Anyone who has a question, hit us up at JBW Podcast on Twitter with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions by email to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page. Criticisms. We've been getting some really kind words from listeners, so we appreciate that as well. But help us out, ask us questions, tell us what you want to hear, and look for us on iTunes and Google Podcasts. And I did get another notice from Google Podcasts again saying it was going to end sometime this year, so we'll see how long it lasts. But anyway, we will talk to you next week. Thanks again, Claudio.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy your baseball.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with hashtag High Heat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.